This is the SCLO Library Podcast. I'm David Pensick, Communications Manager for SCLO Center Region Library. We are located in the heart of downtown State College on the corner of Beaver Avenue and Allen Street. And this episode is dropping on Wednesday, April 15th, 2020. And of course, so we're in the middle of April and still in the middle of this dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. SCLO, the building is still closed, but our digital offerings remain open, still open. Our digital libraries with ebooks, the audiobooks, Canopy, Zoom rooms you can reserve. So all our digital offerings are still there. Again, hope everyone is staying safe, and thank you for your patience and all everything you're doing through to help the community get through this. So thank you again as we work through this. And April is National Poetry Month, and that's what this episode is about. One of the things that's come through during when everyone's been isolated is artists have really stepped forward to help people get through being at home. You know, you've seen virtual concerts and some of the theater organizations are streaming shows. And poetry is another form that can maybe help people deal with challenging circumstances. And for today's episode, I have two staff members of the Pennsylvania Center for the Book, which does a lot with poetry. Alisa Cahoy is an education librarian and the assistant director for the Pennsylvania Center for the Book. And Nicole Miyashiro is a poet herself, actually. And she coordinates the poets and content development for the Poem From Life project. And this is a great project that the Center for the Book has done the last few years. They work with Juniper Village, which is a retirement has assisted living retirement facility, and they work with some of the residents there. They have poets interview the residents, and the poets then write a poem about specific residents, the residents that they have interviewed. So it's a great project. And now both the Poetry From Life and the Public Poetry Project, another thing that the Center for the Book does, they're going to be done a little differently this year because no one, we can't get together, but they're going to be doing stuff online. And so hopefully you'll get a chance to enjoy that. And Alisa and Nicole talk about that in this episode. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Alisa and Nicole as we celebrate National Poetry Month. So I thank you both for joining us to celebrate poetry and Poetry Month. And I guess obviously with the world we're living in right now and the realities, maybe go to Nicole for this. How's poetry, what kind of impact can it have, and positive impact can it have during times like this? And I guess, what are you seeing in the last few weeks since we've all had to go into our homes?
Sure. Yes. Well, I'm seeing a lot of people processing and documenting these times in different ways, whether it be through painting, photography, and poetry is certainly one of those ways. And I think the thing about poetry and what I love about it is it connects us to each other, reminds us that we're not alone. And I think right now, that's deeply, deeply needed. And one of the wonderful things happening right now is that we are talking about how important connection to each other is openly. There are all these conversations about it, and I think that's really beautiful. And I think that's what poetry, is about. Mm. Why it's especially important now.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about what's happening at the Center for the Book, especially since we, again, we the pandemic's hit this hit the country and we've gotten to our homes, what kind of projects you've been able to still work on?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, one of our projects called Poems from Life with Juniper Village, a collaboration project, was originally, we usually each year do a in-person event to celebrate this project. And it's what we do with Juniper is have poets individually meet one-on-one with a Juniper resident. And they meet, they get to know each other, and then the poet is tasked with writing a poem that captures something about the resident, an essence of their life, something to support the Juniper Village mission of nurturing the spirit of life. So that's, you know, the gist of this project, and one of the most beautiful things about it is the celebratory event we have in person each year where everyone comes together and these poems are read aloud and shared within the community. And it's this really beautiful moment. So this year, considering everything going on, what we've been able to do is transfer that event into a virtual format where we're going to be sharing each poet's reading of the poem online. And we're going to roll out one at a time starting April 21st. And we'll share those, you know, one at a time so that they could be experienced by the community as a whole, and especially by the resident.
Yeah, and Elise, I think you sort of spearheaded or were part, or I know you administered. Can you talk about how that program got started? It is such a wonderful program, and just the reaction you've had over the years with poets and the residents of Juniper.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to talk about that. This project was started in collaboration with Nicole and also with Katie Kensinger, who works at Juniper Village at Brookline. And Katie's very involved in our arts community. And a few years ago, you know, she said, I wonder if we could do some kind of collaborative program around the arts with Juniper and the Pennsylvania Center for the Book. And we had originally thought about theater because that's Katie's major area of involvement. And I've done some work in that area, too. And then I immediately thought about Nicole and thought it needs to be poems. And Nicole has this connection with our local poetry community that is absolutely incredible. And she is just able to draw in so many talented people. And so that is really how the program began, was a way to really, you know, bring forward all the colorful aspects of Juniper Village residents' lives, and also illuminate our area poets as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess the residents have got, I mean, how do they seem when they hear these poems that are written about them? I mean, what kind of reaction have they had to the works?
It can be very emotional, right, Nicole?
Yes, definitely. Very emotional, big smiles, lots of hugs, sometimes tears. And I will say it's really revealing for the loved ones of the residents as well. Oftentimes what happens with this project is that it opens up the space between, you know, the resident and the poet, where it's like the safe open space where a vital piece of who that resident is kind of just comes out in a way that maybe may not have otherwise. And a lot of times reveals something new, even to their closest family members. It's really a really, really beautiful project and experience. And I can tell you from one of this year's poems, for instance, Caroline Meehan, a local poet here, who does a lot of workshops at the Makery with Right to Shine, something that she does. And she was paired with Harriet O'Brien, and in their conversations, Harriet ended up bringing out a photo of her wedding, and that kind of spurred so many fond memories of her life. And Caroline weaved, you know, into her poem this beautiful imagery of taken from the photograph and different pieces of how that love of Harriet's life just sustained throughout her life. And the poem itself is just beautiful. It's just amazing to me what the poets end up doing in like this short space of a poem, and how you can come away with so much from, you know, about the resident's personal life. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And the poets, the subjects of the poems all get a framed copy of the poem, and that really becomes an artifact, you know, that's treasured by the resident and the family. It preserves, as Nicole says, different parts of their history that are fascinating.
Now, has the has the virtual event happened? And because it seems like even this year of all years, this would be wonderful. This is even because the residents at Juniper Village, you know, they don't get to see visitors right now, or really they're restricted. So that, you know, this seems like an even more powerful moment right now for this year's event.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really excited that we'll be able to do this. And knowing Katie and also Jill McKendrick, another Juniper collaborator, just knowing that what they all do for their community, I know they'll probably, you know, set something up, you know, and get some of their residents maybe together in a smaller space and a safe space to view it. I know they'll do something special so that the residents can really enjoy these poems and bring some sunlight to what's a hard time right now for a lot of people, especially in their community. So I am happy that we're able to do this. So
will the public be able to see whatever you record, or is it just for the residents?
Yes, no, definitely the public will be able to see this. We will be posting on our Pennsylvania Center for the Book Facebook page. Is where we will roll out each video. And then we will also collect all of the videos on our Pennsylvania Center for the Book website. And then we'll hopefully get some posters, images of the posters, and some text of the poems also on our website eventually too. So it'll all be in one place. But for starts, April 21st, we'll start rolling out one at a time, so people can really soak in each one, is what we're thinking for this year. Wouldn't you say, Lisa?
Yep, that's the way it's going to be. And I mean, the great thing about this is that these poems may reach an even broader audience because they will be on the web. And so the poets themselves and the families of the residents will be able to share them on their own social media too. So, you know, this may be a component that proves valuable for the future too, but we still always want to do that in-person ceremony at Juniper Village in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And another thing you've had to take virtually this year is the Public Poetry Project. And I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that and what will be happening this year with that.
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. So the Public Poetry Project is a project of the Pennsylvania Center for the Book that has been going on, I want to say, since 2001 or 2002. It's a very long-standing project, and it aims to bring poetry into the lives of residents from across the entire state of Pennsylvania. And so what we do is we get together a jury of poets from across Pennsylvania, usually three or four very established poets. And then we ask them to identify some other Pennsylvania poets who they would like to really illuminate and bring to a broader audience. And then we publish poems by those chosen poets on posters. And we send thousands of copies of those posters out, again, across Pennsylvania, to public libraries, to coffee houses, just all over the place. And in that way, we bring poetry into the lives of everyday people, right? And so this year, before everything with the coronavirus had happened, we had actually decided that we were going to go virtual with the Public Poetry Project. So it was kind of a fortuitous change in advance. We were all ready for it. We're still sending out all of our posters across the state, but we decided that instead of having an in-person event here in State College, which we've always done in the past, we've always had it in the libraries and Foster Auditorium, we would do, just as we're doing with Poems from Life, we would have the poetry event online. And so we have our poets contributing, they're reading their contributed poems, plus a few others, on video. And then again, just as Nicole said, for Poems from Life, we're going to share those through our social media channels. So again, they should reach a broader audience. But when Penn State School is back in session, the poetry posters will go out. And we will also be projecting those posters in our collaboration commons, which is at University Park. We have this huge wall of screens, and we really want to bring these posters and these poems into the daily lives of our Penn State students and faculty and staff too. So we're trying to embed poetry both through the posters and electronically as many different ways as we can. But information about that project and the highlighted poems should be coming forth soon as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. I guess sort of back to how has poetry, or when did you, each of you, when was poetry big into your lives? Like Nicole, when did you start writing poems? You know, when and how did you get, and Elisa, how'd you get so involved with working with poetry?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I want to admit this, but in second grade, I started writing journaling really a little bit. And that just eventually morphed into some really, what would might be now some embarrassing poems, but always helpful and useful in my life. And I didn't really think about poetry as like a means of sharing it with other people or anything until much later in my life. It was just part of a way I processed the world and helped me, you know, along the way. And then it wasn't until later, in fact, after undergrad, that I decided, oh, you know, I'm going to do this a little bit more seriously and see what this publishing, you know, is about and get to know other writers. And, you know, that's, so it wasn't until later in life that I started to think about it in more public, in a more public way, and to learn about what it was doing in community.
And we are, like I said, very lucky to have Nicole in the Pennsylvania Center for the Book, because not only is she a published poet in her own right, but she really is that connector with that vibrant poetry community here in central Pennsylvania. And it's unbelievable how many talented poets we have in our region. And our programs have helped illuminate a lot of those poets, too.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. I feel honored to be part of the Center for the Book.
We are lucky.
That's wonderful. Have you noticed, and either with the submissions you received this year for the public poetry, we talked a little bit about poetry coming out during this time of the coronavirus, but even over the years, how much of what's happens in the outside world does that, do you sense that when you read poetry, when submissions you've gotten over the years or whatever, things that are happening and what the poets are putting out there?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, David, because, you know, I was looking at the poems for this year's public poetry project. We have four highlighted poems this year. And as I said, these are chosen by our jury of Pennsylvania poets. Often these are poets who have also been highlighted before through the public poetry project. And one thing that we noted in looking through the poems from this year, they're very, very moving poems. They also are very emotional, a lot of these poems. And I don't want to say that there is a darkness to them, but they're dealing with some heavier subjects. And so it is kind of interesting that poetry often mirrors what's happening in life. And even though these were chosen, you know, before this current crisis hit, it just seems to be kind of mirroring sort of that roiling of just kind of emotions, you know, that undercurrent that's been happening in our society.
Yeah, Nicole, I guess as a poet, can maybe you speak to that about when you write, I mean, how much does what's going on in the world impact, or do you feel it influencing your writing?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And sometimes, sometimes it's jarring to realize later how much it kind of seeps in subconsciously most times. And I can say right now, in these times, I've been writing very consciously about what's happening each day here in this new kind of alternative world we're living in. So, you know, in some ways, I think it's when you go to write poetry, sometimes you go with an intention of processing something really specific, and other times, you know, you go and you're writing something maybe specific, but other things kind of seep in and you don't see that till later. So it's a very interesting craft and experience, and helpful in that way.
Yeah. And you're involved in another project, I believe Words of Art. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Cause you also work with the Center for the Book on that project.
Sure. Yes. So Words of Art is a project where pretty much I take, or not take, but I respond to visual artwork with poetry, and then provide an audio clip of that and some explanation of the origin of the poem. And the idea of this project is kind of to push those boundaries of art appreciation in general, just to get people asking a little bit more about you know, their encounters with art in a way that can empower them to maybe discover something more about themselves and just get, be more engaged with the arts. And it started with the Palmer Museum of Art, actually, here on Penn State's campus, where I just was invited to do a reading there and decided, oh, what it would be like to maybe respond to the artwork around me and then do a reading like that and see what that would be like. And I did that, and it was a engaging experience, and I wanted to expand on that. So fortunately, with the generous support of the Center for the Book, I was able to move forward with this project, and I'm going to be including some discussion questions too with each poem and visual art pairing that my coworker Erica King has helped me with a bit to figure out, you know, the best way to do that. She's a curriculum designer, so working in this educational piece to it, and I'm hoping it could be of use to people individually, but also in educational settings, to just kind of prompt some more questions and engagement with visual art using poetry. So that's that project.
Well, that's wonderful. SCLO has had a great partnership with the Center for the Book, especially with the Lee Bennett Hopkins Award. I don't know if I think it was about a couple months ago you announced this year's winner. I don't know if you would want to talk a little bit about the award and about this year's award winner.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, as you can see, we have so many different poetry initiatives happening in the Pennsylvania Center for the Book. And another one of our longstanding awards is the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award. And the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award recognizes excellence in poetry for children, and a book of poetry that was published for children. It's named after the poet and the poetry anthologist Lee Bennett Hopkins, who sadly passed away not too long ago. And he is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most prolific anthologist putting together collections of poetry in the world. And he was and remains in spirit an incredible advocate for the power of children's poetry. And if you ever want to see an inspiring person, just Google Lee Bennett Hopkins and watch a video or two of him in action. Just an incredible, energetic, like I said, inspiring, wonderful, wonderful person. And so he is the namesake for the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award. And each year there is a jury of librarians, educators, poets who select what they feel is the most, you know, the best work of children's poetry published in the previous calendar year. And so this year, the 2020 winner of the Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award is How to Read a Book, written by Kwame Alexander and illustrated by Melissa Sweet and published by HarperCollins Children's Books. If you Google Lee Bennett Hopkins Poetry Award, you'll come to the Pennsylvania Center for the Book site, and you can see more information on Kwame Alexander's book, which is all about the, website says, the irresistible allure of words. So it's a perfect choice for this year. And we did actually have an honor award too, and it's called You Are Home, an Ode to the National Parks, written and illustrated by Evan Turk. And as you mentioned, David, we have had a great partnership with SCLO in the past on the Lee Bennett Hopkins Children's Poetry Award. And sometimes we've even had our ceremony there, which has been awesome. And I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with the ceremony this year, because everything is kind of up in the air, but we will definitely find a way to celebrate for sure.
Yeah, we had a great turnout last year. It was right around, was Arts Fest. And so we hope, hopefully we'll be looking forward to something this year, whether it's at SCLO or at least somewhere.
That's right.
Summer, yeah.
Yep.
I guess with we're in Poetry Month here in April, and maybe just if each of you want to respond to this, what are there things you're reading now to help you with this time? Things you maybe recommend to people who listen to this poetry, whatever that you recommend that would maybe be of comfort or healing to help people through the times we're going through right now.
Well, one of my favorite poets is Dorian Locks, and I just love her work, and one of my favorite poems by her is called What's Broken, so I would highly recommend people checking that out, among other of her works.
And I would recommend Donald Hall is one of my favorite poets. And he has a collection, Selected Poems of Donald Hall, but he also has, he wrote a lot of kind of nonfiction memoirs in his later years. He also passed away in the last few years. And he has a book that is about living on his New Hampshire farm in his 80s. That is really fascinating when you think about the time that we're in now in this kind of self-isolation, where he and his wife, he was also married to another very prolific poet, lived on this farm, and they really basically were just there day after day, writing poetry, eating lunch, taking a nap, writing more poetry, making dinner. Like, they did not leave their house. And they led this rich artistic life without physically leaving home, other than to maybe go to the supermarket. Sounds kind of familiar to where we are right now, right? and it's a great example of art enriching the empty spaces in life. So I really recommend reading his memoirs too, because they kind of show you a way to live a good life, even if you're not out and about doing a lot of things.
Okay. Both great.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
It is. It's really good.
Is there anything else either of you would like to mention about either the Center for the Book, about the things you're doing this month with the poetry, or about anything about poetry in general?
I just thought of another resource that might be helpful to people is Rattle Journal, which is online, and they do really really up-to-date poetry. Like, every day they have something that they're posting, and a lot of it is, related to what's happening in the world immediately. There've been a lot of poems about the pandemic coming out that I have found very, very helpful to read. So that's another great resource. And they have a lot of poetry there too, of different kinds, some for children, some ekphrastic poetry in response to artwork. So it's another great resource for poetry.
And I would say follow us on Facebook at, if you put into Facebook Pennsylvania Center for the Book, you'll come to our Facebook page. Nicole is our social media editor, in addition to the many other things that she does. And she does an awesome job of curating and highlighting different poetry and literature related initiatives happening in Pennsylvania and nationally too. And that can kind of be a good way to kind of stay on top of some different inspiring things as well.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, Lisa and Nicole, I thank you so much for joining us, and we are looking forward to those virtual programs this month. Again, probably now more than ever, those are going to be, I think, really be impactful. So thank you so much again for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, David. We really appreciate all your work and your colleagues at SCLO too. Thanks for everything you do.
We always enjoy working with the Center for the Book, Pennsylvania Center for the Book, on various projects like the Lee Bennett Hopkins Award, and I was glad to talk with Elisa and Nicole here for National Poetry Month. We'll be looking forward to some of the virtual content they're going to have, especially as this month continues in celebration of National Poetry Month. Some other things happening with SCLO. SCORE of Central PA, they are going to be continuing to do some workshops for us, including one coming up this Thursday, which is tomorrow, April 16th. They're doing one on Lean Canvas, and this is a business type of business plan that is really gaining traction, and Bob Griffin's going to be leading that discussion on showing how to put together a Lean Canvas business plan. You can register online, sclolibrary.org. Again, it's April 16th, starting at 5:30 p.m. And also April 16th is the next session of A Chance to Exhale with Scott Freed. And Scott, if you want a little bit of preview, he was on last week's podcast episode, and the first session for A Chance to Exhale for 18 years and older was last Tuesday. And now they're going to be every Thursday for the next few Thursdays at 7 p.m. You can go online, sclolibrary.org, and the Zoom link is on there. Also, this past week, yesterday on Tuesday, he started his sessions for children in grades 5 through 8 and their parents. That's called a Stop, Breathe, Connect. And you can still register for that by emailing info@JannaMarieFoundation.org. This is Janna Marie Foundation. It's one of the organizations we're partnering with to bring these Scott Freed programs to you through Zoom. So you can, for the children's one for grades 5 through 8, you can email info@JannaMarieFoundation.org to register for that. And virtual story times, our children's department's continuing that every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying those. And we're just continuing to think of new programming and new ways we can bring stuff to you while the building is closed. Again, we have Zoom rooms if you need a Zoom room. We have our Wi-Fi in our parking lot if you need that. Our digital library, of course, is open, as I mentioned. So, and feel free to contact us, email us, and we'll respond, or you can message us on social media, and we'll respond and try to help you with any difficulties you're having with your library card or whatever. And of course, the best way to keep updated with what's happening at the library is on our website, sclolibrary.org, or you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and that's where we'll be posting updates in terms of the building and services we provide and all that. So our website and our social media platforms are the way to do that. I want to thank Elisa Cahoy and Nicole Miyashiro again for joining us and talking about poetry. Hope you get to go on their page and see some of the things they're doing. And until next time, take care, everyone.